Okay, so the one question we left with. Okay, the main question we left with. One of the problems was that the halacha is that even if you want to say that a father, a rabbi, a nasi could all be mochel on their kavod, a king cannot be mochel on his kavod, because it says som tosim alecha melech shetehei emasa alecha. You shall place upon yourself a king, namely his ema, his dread, his fear should be upon you. So the idea, the main idea we wanted to say, which before we get to the limud, is part of the king. Part of being a king is that he has, he creates a fear. There's an awe of the king. Part of the identity of a king. A king who no one fears isn't a king. That's not just the title. It's part of his identity is that he's feared. And so as opposed to like by a nasi is a nasi, it's a position. Then it's a separate thing that you're chayiv to have a euro or a kobot for the nasi. But in the king, that's a part of melech is shetei masa alecha. That's part of his identity of being a king. So therefore he can't be mochle. But if he'd be mochle, he'd cease being, it would be pogeya in his very identity as a king. So that's why it doesn't lend itself to mechila. It doesn't lend itself to mechila. Okay, so fine. So that's that. That makes sense. But the question is, what's the limud? So how do you learn out from som tosim alecha melech shetayim asa alecha? How does that follow? So Rashi has a pshat, but I mean, I just saw the Maharam Shef has in Ksubos. The Maharam Shef in Ksubos says what the Shah Ben suggested is that it's alecha. Alecha means that the king is alecha. The identity of the king is he's alecha. He's on you, upon you, over you. So that's his whole identity of a king is alecha. But that's not the pshat Rashi learns. That's what Maram Shif says. Rashi learns from the double lashon and som tasim, which I'll get to in a second. But he says that the Maram Shif says, I would have learned it out from alecha. Okay, so that's interesting. But we'll get to we're going to work on Rashi though, apparently. So Rashi learns different. Rashi learns. I mean, it could be the reason why Rashi didn't learn that is because what are you supposed to say? Som tasim alecha melech. Som tasim lecha. I guess you could say som tasim lecha. Som tasim lecha melech. That's what he wants to say. Yeah, he wants to say, he should have said som tasim lecha melech. Alecha implies like it's alecha, like it's a certain dominion over you. Lecha means for yourselves, place a king for yourselves. But alecha means on yourselves. So it means he's over you. It's good, it's interesting. It makes sense. But Rashi didn't go for it. I don't know. Rashi apparently didn't learn that way. Okay? But Rashi does learn, he says, because double lashon, and he talks very wordy, but he says Yisrael huzharu, Yisrael is warned, she simu aleihem simos harbe, that they shall place upon themselves many placings. Kilomar, what does that mean? Shetei mas aleihem, namely that his fear should be upon them. Halkach in kavod amochel, therefore his kavod is in mochel. Shelafikach riba hakasav simos harbe, because that's why the Torah said you should do many simos. Long-winded, Rashi. I mean, I don't know the end part. You have to say, but the question is, what does he mean? What's his concept that you should put many simos, many placings? And it seems not possible, really. You can't place someone like with someone. It's like appoint them. You can't appoint a guy more than once. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, just on the level. I mean, appoint him a melech. You know, you're a king. I mean, appointing means that he was a normal guy, and you appoint him as a melech. So how do you? Well, what does it mean? Appoint him many times, and that means that he can't be mochel on his kavod? Like, how does that? Has it anything to do with it? And that means shetei masa alecha. What is that? It just doesn't seem to even make sense on Shala. What's he saying? So the Shidim of Gubetzes, so the art scroll called Shidim of Gubetzes, and the Maram Shef. But he says, he says like this. He says, and the Pirish. The kol sha'a shemochal al kvodo harek ilu hisar asma melech. That every moment that he's mochal on his kavod, it's like he is dethroning himself. Because he's mochal. Then, v'tzorach ata la simo alecha mechadash. And you have to, re-anoint him. Re-mesim him again. That's what it means. Many simos, we place him many times. It means every time he's mochal, then you should replace him again. It's creative, but it's funny. It's a funny thing. Like, what does that mean? It means when he's mochel, that's it. He's not a king anymore, and now you have to appoint him as a king. Like, what does that mean? He's not king. The second even he's mochel on his kavod, he's not a king, and then you have to do it again. And let's say a king never is mochel on his kavod, then you don't have this halacha, son of Chamel, then the pasuk doesn't mean anything. It's only for a king who is malchon eskabo. King can't be malchon eskabo, it turns out. So what's it saying is that every time he tries to, then you should redo it again, and that's funny. There's nothing funny about it. I mean, okay. So I was thinking like this. I think I'm building on what Jeremy and Gary are saying, but I'm thinking that. So what does it mean, sontasim? Because the problem is that sontasim means like you should, let's say you should continually place him upon yourself, right? Simot harbe. It sounds like you should place many times, like continually place him upon you. But on the surface, it doesn't make sense, right? Like I said, it's because the placing, if you give tasim, that's the halachic emphasis. It's true, it's halach. The chiyuv. Yisrael, that's what I say. Yisrael, who's harusha? Simol is. That's the hazara. It's not just the word halacha. Yeah, like if it just said Som Alecha, then it would be, like, didn't say Som Tas, Som Alecha Yisrael, so it would mean that your Chiyuv, the Chiyuv Chai Yisrael, is just to appoint the king. Do an action of appointment. And then, Alecha means that you're appointing him as a guy who is supposed to be Alecha. But now if he would go down from that position, so I guess he wouldn't really be functioning as a Melech, but what's lacking in me? It's lacking in me. So that, nothing. It was, I mean, a Mechayiv for me to make sure that he can't be a mocha, but some that's what he's saying, some tasim alacha is showing you, no, it's lacking you, because Yisrael is also to be to do the simah, do many simahs. They're not just limited to a one-time thing. The chiyuv of Klai Yisrael is a continual chiyuv. That's what I think, I think that's what this is trying to bring out, Rashi, you know? Just, it sounds funny, because if you think of simah as if you're actually placing him, he's talking about literally. That doesn't make any sense, but he doesn't mean that. But you see something very interesting, actually, it turns out. Because if you define the halacha without the Rashi, without studying the limud itself, you just want to understand the concept, so you'd say it just means that a melach, by definition, has to have ema. But you don't study it, then you just ignore the limud. But if you see the limud, the way the limud is som tasim, simos harbe, you understand, you realize that your concept wasn't really fully developed. Because it's true that the melach is, that's his job, but what's machayev me is not just because that's his job, it's because of the din sima. So it's some tasim, the pasuk is the source of the limud. Sometimes you think it's like, it's a question in learning. Sometimes like you ignore limudim, you just get the idea and define it, or you want to see how it's learned out. I mean, you see here that how it's learned out isn't just the technical thing of what's the limud, but it really affects the concept. It points to what the concept is. What makes it even harder is because the Gemara in Kedushin doesn't even quote this. It just says no zochus ma'aser alacha. Doesn't even say it. It's just Rashi and Ksubas had it. Like, the reason I found it, because I was like, well, this didn't add up. How do you get there? So I quoted other Gemaras, and I have to find this Rashi. But, I guess if you had most of Rashi, it would help. I guess I didn't have it. But, maybe Art School sent me that. Maybe, it could be it's from Art School. But either way, I mean, you're just learning, it's something to pursue, though. I mean, a limud has to, if you see a limud, it's worthwhile, even if it doesn't lead you to the idea. I mean, it's part of what? Part of the Gemara. It's telling you a limud. You got to see what's the limud. What is the limud? And oftentimes it will affect concepts. I mean, it's hard, you know. Sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes it's hard to do, you know. But it's worthwhile at least to understand the pshat, at least to have it in your mind, the pshat, and then you'll see if it fits in with the idea. Sometimes it'll help you point you to a further idea.
It's the dark waters.
Yeah, it's like the Maram Shift's question would be, if all Rashi were trying to do is just to find the source, you know, then you say the Maram Shift would say, it's an easier source, halacha. But Rashi's not doing that. Rashi's trying to bring out the concept halachically. He's bothered by what's the concept here. Halachically, it's mechayev me, and that's why he knows about halacha. He's just showing you that it's halachically a din in your sima samal. Sima halacha. Yeah, of course, Rashi knows that. Rashi didn't miss halacha. He's showing you the mechayev. The halachic mechayev is the sima. Sima halacha. Yeah, it's funny how Rashi says it. Maybe you can understand Rashi's lashon. It's a little cryptic, but he says Yisrael huzharu sheyisimo aleihem simas arbe. So that's the starting point. Yisrael is commanded to put on many simas. Kelomar, what does that mean? Shetei emaso aleihem. That his fear has to be upon them. And that's what it means. What does it mean simas arbe? It means, that's what he's saying. That's what it means. It means that they should establish him as the Melech, and internally. It's showing you, Simas Arbe means is internally they should be establishing as the Melech. Fine, you could have stopped there. He says Hilkach ain't kavod demacha. Therefore, his kavod is a mocha. Okay, that also follows, because since that's the nature of what Klai Yisrael has to do, therefore, he can't be on his kavod. Then he says, this is the last part of the Zohar. Shelefikach riba hakasav simos arbe. Because that's why the Torah included many simos. What does he mean, that's why the Torah? What does that mean? The Torah included many simos because the Torah wanted shtemos halacha. He's saying, no, therefore, it's saying, because that's why the Torah did it. Right. I think what he's saying is that it doesn't make sense, or it sounds like this, is what I'm saying, is that Torah's not going to tell you that you have to, point to Malach means you should, it's a chivis to internally relate to him in a certain way. Well, what's the halacha? The halacha is how I internally relate to him. What's the nachmin of that in a halachic sense? Like, what's the practical nachmin? I mean, I assume I place him as a melech, and what I, as the Torah, is it a chiv on, like, is it really a chiv on my internal relationship to him? Like, is that what it's saying? Is that I have to internally have that relationship to him? That I, that apparently I'm saying no. Is that it's teaching you, that's me nachmin. Nachmin is ain't kvod ha'machal. That's the internal relationship is not the chiv. The chiv is the action of that internal relationship, which is that if he's mochel, you can't accept it, and you have to put him aside. That's when that internal relationship comes to a practical expression, and that's what it's teaching you. Because if you don't have the internal expression, who cares? Internally, you don't feel that way, but he's the melech, and that's the way you relate to him, and that's the way you treat him, and that's the way, you know. But when he lets his guard down, if you don't have that internal relationship and you just let it flow, let it go, so then you'd be lacking in that's when you'd be remiss in your sima. Right? The saying shalfikach is saying is that it's apparently he's learning the Torah wouldn't teach you this halacha just in an abstract that you have to do many simos. What does that mean? You have to internally work on yourself and subordinate yourself internally in your emotions. Then it's not a halacha in the emotions. He's saying is that it must be. What does it mean? You have to constantly do it. Be, you know, to be some tassan halacha. What's the? There has to be some practical nafkamina. It could be our saying is that if there were no practical nafkamina to the thing, then it wouldn't be a halacha. It wouldn't be leaving. What he's saying is that it's teaching you that ain't kvod ha'machal, which means is that you have to be constantly putting him, even if he is lowering his guard, you have to always be putting him, can't be machal, you have to be mechaber no matter what. I mean, it sounds like that's what Rashi's saying. It's interesting. I don't know if he would have said that. I mean, he could have said, no, it's teaching you that that's the nature of the malucha. It's teaching you that's what you have to do. You have to internally subordinate yourself to him. That's the halacha. And believe. Because that's the nature of the reality. Apparently, he's learning. It sounds like he's learning that ink vodam machal is the halachic. That's why the Torah said it. The Torah wouldn't just say is telling you a political reality of like maybe you're saying political reality of that you have to be internally subordinate to them. I mean, that's so. What's the difference? What's the difference halachically? It's different. Does it matter? Like, let's say kibud avim. Does it matter if I internally hating my father, does it make a difference? I mean, if I act like 100%, I act 100%. Does it make any difference in my emotions? So what's the kind of thing? My emotions have to be subordinate to the king. I'm 100% acting subordinate to him. So what do I have to do? I have to chive my lave? So what he's saying is, it's no, not really. It's the actions which reflect the lave. It has to be actions of one who is 100% subordinate. That's the halacha. And if you don't, that would lack in your sima.
So it is
action. It is actions, exactly. It is actions.
They could be.
Yeah, right. It's very interesting, Rashi. I mean, there's a lot here, you know. It's a lot here. A lot of things in this one, Rashi. How to pull out the ideas, and you know, in the lima here. It's not so simple to read Rashi. A lot of points here. I mean, I think one thing is this is. I mean, I was doing this myself as I read it over the first time. You know, Rashi sounds. If you read it, you'll see it sounds very wordy. Just sounds like a mouthful, but you just say whatever. Let's get what's he saying, you know. But I knew, by the way, you can't. It's very hard to figure out when he talks a lot to figure that out before you have an idea. It's more like usually I think a good way to do it is to get an idea. It's hard to know. There's always different, but one way to do it is get an idea and then look at Rashi and then maybe he's refining it. You know, he's telling you, talking more in order to show you how to slant, how to angle that idea, how to further develop the idea. You know what I mean? Hard to get to pick up on like fine details like that when you don't have an idea. Sometimes the fine details can lead you to an idea, so it's hard, in a different way. But oftentimes it's too hard to do, you know. Why you want to know why is Rashi write so many words? I mean, what's Rashi saying altogether? So oftentimes a good way to do is get the idea first, But then don't stop there. Now you feel like you have the idea. Now you move on. And then you have to see, well, if I were Rashi and that were my idea, would I really write it in so many words? And if I wouldn't, then it must be Rashi saying something more than he thought thinking first sight. Well, if you don't have an idea, I'd say at least still leave it as a question. Say you don't understand what Rashi's talking that much. I mean, you got to do that at least, you know.
Right.
Don't convince yourself that you fully understand Rashi. If there's something in the words that you wouldn't have, Rashi knows how to write, you know. And if he's talking in a way that's more wordy than he, you know. I mean, you have to have a sensitivity. I'm not saying, you know, you can't just go crazy on the Lashon, but I mean, sometimes you get a sense that Rashi is being a lot more wordy than he. You could have just cut the Rashi short halfway through it, and they would have said the same thing. That must mean that he, you know, you're not really copying what he's saying. You know, Rashi doesn't just keep talking just for the sake of talking.
Right.
Seriously, you have to know. You have to know the style of a different Mishnah. Like I remember when I did the Bezumba of Basra, there's Rashbam, and Rashbam is much, much more wordy. If you open up a Rashbam of Bava Basra, I don't know if you've learned it, mm-hmm. you see the pages are much more thick at the bottom. Psachim also, yeah. It's, you just I remember, like, having the feeling. I mean, I don't know if this is 100% sure. This is the way I felt, is that Rashi wouldn't write this way. And, like, there are points that if Rashi were writing this way, I would have worked hard to try to figure out what's he getting at. Why is he being so wordy? But it just kept happening. They just got a sense that that's a style. There's an idea of style. And someone's style could be they're wordy, and they explain things, even though you really got it, but they're really trying to be clear, to clarify and to further bring it, elucidate, bring out the points to their full extent and different angles, and you know, and so even at the risk of being repetitious a little bit, you know. Yeah. But Rashi just, that's not his style. It's not Rashi's style, you know. I mean, you have to get a set feeling for a style, but Rashi just doesn't do that, you know. And I mean, there is such a style, as I was repeating himself, but it depends on your style, I mean. Depends on what you're doing. I mean, some people, you write like that. You can't be medayik. I mean, you have to know a person's style. There is an idea of style. Not everyone writes like, like the Rambam also has style. The Rambam doesn't just repeat things. I mean, actually, the Rambam is more like Rashi. You know, there's some more in that type of thing. But at least it was my theory is that the Rashbam is that. I mean, I don't know. I never was like in Rabbi Shira when he did the Rashbams. And, you know, I haven't heard of this. It's just my theory when I was doing the Rashbams is that he doesn't have the same style as Rashi. And I thought, I'd be surprised. I would have been surprised if he could. You could actually explain every single time Rashbam sounds repetitive. I just saw it enough times. I just you know, attributed it to style as opposed to every single, you know. But maybe I'm wrong. I can't know for sure, but that was my feeling. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So at this point, basically, the Gemara is finished with the Kibbutz Avayim stuff. Our Gemara is finished with it. But it goes into the next thing is the Halachi of standing for a Zaken, for a Chacham for a Zaken. But basically, I figured like once we've done this much in Kibbutz Avayim, we might as well try to flesh out all the points which didn't come up. I mean, we just did it from the Gemara and Kedushin, but I mean, there are other points and other things, sigyus and shas that come up about Kibbutz Avayim. So I felt, I think I did it from the Rambam. I just like looked through the halachas and saw what topics have we not taken up. So we can do a few of those. Like, there's a chiyuv of step parents, covered from step parents is a sigya. Older brother is a chiyuv, is a sugya. I mean, there are certain sugyas.
Older brother.
But there's this sugya is, But this sugya is basically the rasha. If your father's a rasha. Okay, your father's a rasha. And for starters, I guess maybe today, let's just try to take the basic machlokas. According to the Rambam, if your father's a rasha, you're still chayv in kavod, 100%. Okay? Still chayv in kavod. Mamzer. The case is brought up by Mamzer, but you're still chayv in kavod. But they bring down the lashon of the Torah. The Torah basically argues. He says no. He says you're only chayiv if he's osei ma'ase amcha. If he's a rasha, he says there's no halacha of kavod for a rasha. He's a rasha. He's not osei ma'amcha. He's not doing the action of Klal Yisrael. He's a rasha. He says there's no halacha. The Torah holds there's no halacha of kavod for a father's a rasha. So it's machlokas hashem. So the question is, what's the idea? What's the machlokas? The svar for it. Well, the putter is in my. The other problems are in terms of klala, the issue of hitting him and cursing him, and how that plays out. Because by cursing him, you also have this discrepancy. A little bit is the Rambam's holding that you're not allowed to curse him if he's a rasha, but you're not chayv. You're not chayv misa for it. But I feel like. I mean, there are a lot of problems. There are a lot of problems that will become opened up when you go there. But I feel like, at least for starters, I feel like you got to start somewhere. You know, it's too big a problem. You know, it's also been on that long today. I feel like maybe let's just try to. Kavod is one mitzvah and cursing is another mitzvah. So, I mean, they might be related, but I mean, there are definitely, there's no reason why you have to define kavod together with that. So I'd say, let's say kavod is the simplest problem, I think, is by kavod. I mean, the facts are very simple. There's not much, you know. It's not like, there you have potter, it's asur, but you're still potter, and the complicated case of he's omeyed, did tshuva, or he's on his way. It's complicated. But I feel like in the simple case, let's just take that. It's, are you chayav to mechaved, your father is a rasha? Straight. Simple. Either in question. I'm not going to get into now what a Russia means. For our purposes, it's a guy who basically Torah defines as an evil guy. He's an avayim b'mezid. I mean, he certainly is an avayim b'mezid. I mean, I don't get into questions if it's l'teavo and if it's different questions. But for our purposes, whatever Russia means, Russia's a bad guy. Versus if your father is someone who the Torah holds is a bad guy, okay, a Russia, a very bad guy. Do you have to stand for the United States? Okay, so I'm thinking along Jeremy's lines that the question is, what's the chiyuv? What's the nature of the chiyuv kavod? So you could say, let's say the guy's name is Johnson, Mr. Johnson.
Okay. Which guy's name?
Father and the son.
It's Mr. Both.
Mr. Johnson. So we're talking about the father.
No.
So do you say that I have to honor Mr. Johnson? Why do I have to honor Mr. Johnson? I'll tell you why. Because he is your father and he reflects your mind. Okay? Or is it pshat that I have to honor my father? Like, father. Or is the idea of kibud av? You know what I mean? Like, is it kavod for the person because he reflects, because he happens to be a father? Or is it like, it's kavod, so to speak, for the institution of father? It's true, he happens to be like the Eichitim, so the example of that institution. But I'm not honoring him. I'm honoring the abstract idea, the secondary substance, the Av.
Because you're not going to honor just anyone who reflects Kavod Shemayim.
Correct, no, Av. Mm-hmm. So hold on a second. So it's a particular method through which he reflects Kavod Shemayim, through the father. But it's still, is the kavod for him because he reflects Kavod Shemayim in a certain kind of a way, namely father, or is it kavod for the Shem Av, which he is an instance of. But I'm not honoring Mr. Johnson. I'm honoring the idea of Av. Av is an institution which reflects the Bria, reflects my createdness. So what's the difference? So if you say I'm honoring Mr. Johnson because he's a father, because he is my father, whoa, he's a Rasha. Can't honor Rasha. Mr. Johnson, that Rasha, you can't honor a Rasha. A Rasha is evil. And there's no place to honor Rashan. You can't honor a Rasha. He's a Rasha. So he's my father. That's true. In one regard, he reflects Shemayim, and that's great. But on the other hand, he's a Rasha. And the Risha says that he simply can't honor Rasha. If you're honoring the individual, Mr. Johnson, you can't honor a Rasha. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he has other good, great qualities. But he's a Rasha. He's a Rasha, but he's a very smart guy. So, but he's a Rasha. There's no two ways about it.
What is the Chiyuv?
The Chiyuv is to honor the Gavra, who happens to be your father. But it's not that there's no Machayev.
It's a dual. It's the Gavra who is your father.
Which Gavra? The Gavra who has that quality. The Gavra of your father. But it's the person. You know, the Kavod is directed to him. And if that's the case, it's not that there's no Machayev if he's a Rasha. It's just that it's not possible. The Torah can't be Machayev. You're on a Rasha. So because of the separatists or to hate a Rasha and to destroy a Rasha, it's simply the Chiyuv can't express itself. I mean, he fits into the normal frame, but it just can't have, it can't be. But if you say that the Chiyuv is that it's to honor the institution of Av, my father, it's not Mr. Johnson, I don't care who he is. He's just an instance of the institution. But I'm really honoring the institution through the fact that he, through this guy. But then it doesn't matter. His personal life is irrelevant because it's the idea, I'm looking at him simply as Mr. Father. I'm not looking at him as Mr. Johnson, who's, he's not involved, so to speak. He as an individual, as a personality, is not involved. He as a creator, as my creator, as my father. And so is the kavod directed to the person himself, the human being, or to the institution which he is an embodiment of? So then you don't have to get into, then his personal life is a problem. In fact,
same.
I mean, it's an abstract point. It's an abstract point. I mean, I think it makes sense. I think that's.
Right.
What's interesting, you could say it's a question. I'm not sure. It's something to think about. But what about the halacha? Is a father can be mochel on his kavod? Father can be mochel on his kavod. So would you say that's a question on the position who says that it's on the Rambam?
Yeah.
That really the kavod is not for him as an individual, but it's for the institution of father. So could you say he could be mocha?
Individual here, right.
It's true. You're honoring him, the Torah, that he is the institution of father. But it's still the form of the kavod is honoring this person. I mean, it's not kavod for Mr. Johnson, but it's the actions are kavod to him. Now that means what he wants you to do, but it's not because what Mr. Johnson wants to do is what father wants you to do. I mean, so of course it's totally in his will because you are honoring him. It's just not him, but Torah's Mr. Johnson. It's him, but Torah's
father. It's different. We have to honor.